The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andy Hollingworth, CEO of Tuple. T-O-O-P is ticker. Andy, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin.
Yeah, and you've released your results for the year ended the 30th of September 2021. We'll be digging into that in a bit. Before we do, as always, Andy, for people not familiar with Tuple, what you do, just give us a summary if you could.
Yeah, certainly. Tuple PLC are a business dedicated to providing UK businesses with high-speed data connectivity linked to cloud-based telephony platforms that support true unified comms and hybrid working across the UK, obviously clearly prevalent in the pandemic period that we've just been through. And everything we do is best choice for the customer from the best carriers in the best location with true transparency of pricing and on a fixed-term contract, which is typically 2, 3, or 5-year fixed-term contracts. And we are dedicated to UK business right from small office, home office, to small, medium enterprise business up to the corporate businesses.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so full year results ended 30th September. And give us a couple of highlights, if you could, Andy, there. Go through them.
Yeah, thank you. And certainly, we're really pleased. I mean, today we have reported some great progress for the company over the last financial year. And as importantly, for the first time in our history, we're also giving an early look at our first quarter's trading of the current financial year as well that we're in. So that gives us a good insight into how we exited and the momentum going forwards. Over the year, you know, the key thing has been the integration of our first acquisition, which was DMSL. And I think we can see from what the financial highlights will be that that's been a great success. It was a major acquisition for the group, onboarding a very, very large customer base in a huge variety of industry segments. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the fact that the key financial indicators up to the end of September, there's been a huge improvement in the EBITDA loss position. So we're reporting a 32% reduction in the EBIT loss position from last year. We reported a loss of 1.3 million, and that has moved to just over 880,000 this year. But I say a 32% improvement. If you look at the year-on-year improvement, when you take into consideration the bad debt that we reported last year, it's actually a year-on-year improvement of 64% reduction in the loss position. Secondly, gross profit also increased by 22% to 1.06 million. And bad debt was eliminated to 55,000 for the full year. That's a huge decline from 1.1 million in the previous financial year. And underpinning that, we also saw, you know, a healthy improvement in the gross margins, which increased year on year from 25% gross margin to 35% gross margin. So overall, we are extremely pleased with the result, especially considering, you know, the 12 to 18 month period that this country's just been through, where predominantly, a lot of our customers were either fully closed for business or heavily restricted, you know, trading during the pandemic period.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so lots of positive under the hood there. And but people will look at the top line, and revenues seem to decline by 12% there. Can you explain that then, Andy?
Yeah, we were actually expecting that. We knew and we indicated that that was an absolute necessary consequence of the strategic decision we made. If you think about this time last year when we were reporting a 1.1 million bad debt, we had to make a decision to remove that, you know, from the trading, which we've successfully done, and I'll touch more on that as we go through. But also coupled with the fact that we've been trading through, as I said, a pandemic where the majority of our customers are either closed or partly closed for their trading, and at the same time also represent a higher risk for us in terms of trading with those customers, you know, while they're surviving on things like banks back loans and civil loans, etc. So we took a very, very focused view on our DMSL business, and we literally placed the emphasis on that business for the full 12-month period. And the reason why we did that is that that commercial model provides us with cash up front for our activity with no ongoing risk. So that made a sensible choice for us. you know, whilst we were trading through sort of COVID-19. And that gave us then the opportunity to look at the traditional tuple base and be really proactive on the management of that base and eliminate the non-paying customers and the customers with risk. The result is that the historic bad debt problem has all been eliminated, delivering a solid base that we're continuing to grow from. So I'm sort of comfortable with where we are, and I'm happy to say that, you know, as a result of the measures we took, the quality of our earnings have now improved substantially, and we have a better, more stable base that we're growing from. That's been our goal, and we're happy that we've achieved it. And if you then look, well, okay, so did you take the right actions? We can see that from the EBITDA position, from the gross margin, from the gross profit position, you can see that that is right. But then when you underpin that and look at when we come out of the results that we're reporting and we look at our October, November and December, which is our first Q1, we can also see that we've made all but our 12% back. We're seeing sort of a 9% revenue increase in our October, November, December period. We're seeing a gross profit increase of 17%, and we're seeing a further EBITDA improvement of 19%. So I think that the strategic decision was the right decision to take, and we can see that momentum is coming. And momentum is actually coming through in sort of this financial results already.
Yeah. So if you're confident momentum is building, then what are the sort of key drivers here, Andy?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I say, just to remind ourselves, if we look at our comparative, you know, for the first quarter of this financial year, you know, a 9% increase in sales revenue, an increase in gross profit of over 17%, an improving EBITDA of over 19%, that gives us confidence. But why is it happening? And I think it's happening and being underpinned by, you know, a more normal return to economic and working conditions. And I think that's the key drivers. We're seeing more momentum as the UK learns to live with COVID. Sales leads are increasing, conversion rates are ramping up. But the de facto for UK market today is that hybrid working is now the new normal. And the duplication of telecom services and cloud-based platforms in various places like hot desking, mobile working, 24/7 availability and hub offices are sort of the general de facto of how companies are trading today. Even companies that are saying, we want you all back into the office, are still doing it on a hybrid basis, where typically people are in the office 3 days a week and working from home 2 days a week. That colludes to create the perfect wave for us to ride on. And you can see that momentum is there in the October, November and December current results with those increases.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the, you know, sort of clients you've won and the kind of length of the contracts you're achieving there, Andy, if you could.
Yeah, I mean, we're incredibly versatile in terms of the segments that we trade in the business markets. And it's easy to quote people like Carluccio's, people like putting connectivity into places like the O2 Dome and winning the largest national supplier of poultry to the UK marketplace. Some great brands and some great names. And typically, we are very focused on our customers that have got multiple site locations throughout the UK. But also, you know, we are signing contracts with, you know, leading print firms in the UK, builders merchants in the UK, specialist motor car businesses, publishers, hair and beauty chains, computer service providers, councillors, credit unions. So we've got a real plethora across all of the segments. And it just illustrates that the tuple offering of the hybrid solution to cloud-based platforms underpinned by high-speed data connectivity has a wide-ranging appeal to all of those segments. And our contract terms vary, but typically they're for a minimum of 3 years and in lots of cases 5 years.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, what, you know, why are they choosing you? Because that's the point of differentiation, isn't it?
Yeah, I think more and more businesses, you know, have to offer their services virtually and can no longer rely on, you know, an in-person service offering. Telecoms networks are more critical than ever. Keeping businesses connected with super fast data connections is what we do. You know, we're proud to offer that to businesses in a transparent pricing policy and a value-based pricing policy. And it allows our customers, you know, to move with the way that their markets, their offering works in a hybrid solution. And it allows them to concentrate on running their own business. As I say, transparency in pricing, we do it all at an affordable cost. SMEs in particular, are increasingly dissatisfied with the lack of price transparency, poor service offerings and poor customer service from the traditional tier one carriers. You know, everybody is seeing at the moment cost of living increases, cost of services increases. And what they're looking at is providers like us that are transparent in our pricing, that are not looking to every single 1st of April to mirror the CPI or the RPI plus 3.9% or plus 4%. We tell the customer what it is for the life of the contract. And, it is clear, it's transparent, but it's backed up by great customer service and a platform that can grow with them as we move more into the cloud market. That platform is easily flexible. You can move that and grow that as you want instantaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before we get into the three reasons why someone should add you to their watch list, is anything else you'd like to add you feel is important for listeners to know about, Andy?
Yeah, I think we can see from our end of year position, we've absolutely eradicated 1.1 million of historical bad debt that we reported last year to no more than 55,000 that we're reporting for the full year. So you can say that bad debt is eliminated. We can see that our core revenue base from our latest first quarter is growing. We can see that we're replacing those unprofitable contracts and customers. We're accelerating towards cash profitability at the operating level. As I say, we've had a great first quarter, and that first quarter includes December. I always call it half a month by the time everybody goes off for the seasonal period. So momentum is strong. We're increasingly being selected by well-known and respected brands to roll out cloud-based platforms, as well as being backed up by disaster recovery by 4G backup systems across multiple locations. And generally, the company has a much stronger balance sheet than this time last year. In fact, a lot stronger balance sheet than this time last year. And we've demonstrated that we've traded robustly through this pandemic period. We've come out the other side and we're growing.
Yeah. Well, I think those are the three reasons, unless you've got different three reasons, Andy.
No, I think they summarised the position very well, and we're very excited about what we've been able to do in this difficult period, how we've come out the other side, and the momentum that we're reporting in terms of, 9% revenue growth, growth in the gross profit and gross margin levels, and a significant movement in the EBIT position as well. So I think we've got a firm belief that we're really excited about the momentum that is there.
Marvellous stuff. Andy, good to chat to you, and no doubt we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.